Well, just looking back over this past week, yeah, there wasn't much in the way of US data that came out, but yeah, we had Powell speaking again, the Fed chairman, and it's interesting, yeah, after indicating that the US rates were close to peak and may not rise further, going back the week before, he seems to have not quite about-faced on that, but was giving an indication that that rates would still be high and stay high for longer. So just a slight caution on all of that. And with some reason, yes, they're expecting some of the data to actually show some weakness, which will allow them to stay on hold. But it can't be guaranteed in these circumstances where economic forecasts have been thrown out of kilter so many times by the unique developments when we're coming out of a pandemic with large amounts of fiscal spending, and that fiscal spending is continuing and continuing to pressure inflation. At this stage, I think we're going to see quite a deal of volatility, with swings between optimism that rates can come down, punctuated from time to time whenever we get stronger data, and there will be some of that when we see some rebounds coming through. Last week, the data was very, very limited. We had November Michigan consumer sentiment, just the first look at that. It has peeled off a little bit, down to 60.4 and 63.8, so just looking a touch softer there. And also the initial jobless claims, they came down slightly from 220,000 the previous week to 217,000, but it's still higher than where they've been going back a month or two back. So there's a hint of softness starting to develop in the US labour market out of those numbers. This week, key reading is going to be the CPI. Comes out on Tuesday. It's for the month of October. And at this stage, we've had a bit of a flip-up in the annual inflation rate in the US over the last 3 months, where it's low point. It got down to 3% year-on-year, the CPI annual inflation rate. Going through to August and September, we're up at 3.7%. It may start to come down a little bit with the numbers this week. So the market consensus is that the month-on-month reading for the CPI will be 0.1%. That's largely driven by some pullback in energy prices, and the annual rate is expected to come back to 3.3 from 3.7. Fairly important it comes in near those expectations, otherwise people will start to speculate again that it's not coming down fast enough. And the core CPI probably won't be anywhere near as low as the headline. So the core CPI, the market's expecting that that'll come in 0.3% month on month, the same as the month before. That would keep the core annual inflation rate still very high at 4.1%, same as it was the month before. We'll get producer price inflation. It'll come out later in the week. That won't be as important, of course, as the CPI. And other figures which the market will be watching on Wednesday will be things like retail sales. We had very strong consumer spending all the way through the third quarter. So that contributed to household consumption expenditure, really underpinning GDP growth. And the most recent monthly reading for September, retail sales lifted by 0.7%. The market's looking for a 0.1% fall in retail sales for the month of October. Now, I'd be interested to see whether it's quite down there. This is some reaction to the strength we had the previous three months. But again, some risk around that number, that if it turns out to be a little bit stronger than that, that would again lead to the expectations about rates. Later in the week, we get some initial jobless claims. Again, the market's looking around the 220,000 mark for that, after 217,000 going back the most recent week. We also get quite a number of lead indicators coming out over the course of this week. So we get things like the November Empire State Survey out of New York. We get the Philadelphia Fed Survey. Both of these have minus signs on the front of them going back to October, and they expect it to maintain minus signs on the front of them for the month of November. We also get the November National Association of Home Builders Index, and later in the week, home building permits and starts. And all of those are expected to be relatively soft. So the market's shifted towards expecting soft data out of the US. And so there's always a risk with that. that you get some that flip the opposite way. And so that's where it could become quite a volatile week. Moving to China, in last week, their data, we had exports came out. China's exports still pretty weak. The market was thinking that they would be down about 3.1% year on year. They were down 6.4% year on year after being down 6.2% year on year the month before. So if anything, the international account through the export side is worsening. But then relating back to domestic spending, there appears to be some domestic spending starting to lift. And we had imports where it was expected to be down by 4.8% year on year, actually rose by 3%. That was after being down 6.2% year on year the month before. So, there's some sign of a bit of a turn running through the import side there. And there's constant speculation that at some point, there may be some sort of economic package which will be coming through from the government. And relating to that, the inflation data out of China is still very, very soft, almost uniquely around the world. China has a great deal of excess capacity at the moment, and that's reflected in falling prices. So we had the CPI was expected to be flat month on month. It came in at minus 0.1%. That took the annual inflation rate into deflation. It actually is down now 0.2% year on year, after being up 0.1% year on year the month before. So that's where there's a fair bit of policy flexibility for the Chinese, but they just need to get some traction off that. And we'll get the latest economic activity figures coming through this week. So this week we've got October fixed asset investment coming out on Thursday. It's expected that will be largely unchanged from the previous month. In other words, the month before, that was up 3.1% year on year. Expected to be up 3.1% year on year again for the most recent month. Industrial production, if anything, edging down a little to 4.3% year on year from 4.5%. And retail sales, which had a reasonable bounce the month before to plus 5.5%. There's some expectation that's still lifting and might get up to 7%. If it does, it's just a sign that Chinese economy is just showing a little bit of strength running through. And then coming through to Australia. Last week, we had a little bit of monthly data in things like ANZ job ads and also the inflation gauge from that comes out on a monthly basis. The inflation gauge, this is not the ABS one, but suggests that there was a fall for the month, minus 0.1% after being flat the month before. Again, this is largely down to petrol prices and the way in which they came back briefly. Now, this won't be lasting much into October and November, so that one will be an interesting one over coming months. ANZ job ads too, just coming back a touch to minus 3% from minus 0.5% month on month. So some signs of just a little bit of softening running through the labour market there. The RBA held their board meeting, and they did lift the cash rate by 25 basis points to 4.35%. The statement of that was that they're now watching the data to see whether they need to do any further adjustments. Now, the reason that they lifted rates at all was that their forecasts were out of kilter for inflation and also the growth rate in Australia. And they had to adjust those. And they did that in the RBA monetary policy statement on Friday. And they make interesting reading in some ways because they've lifted their growth forecast. It was pitched too low with the numbers that they had going back to August. They've also lifted their inflation forecast and quite substantially in the near term. So, for example, when we're looking at the end of this year, December 2023, previously, and this is only 3 months ago, back in August, the RBA was forecasting that inflation would be down to 3.9% year on year by the end of this year. It's now predicting that will be 4.5%. Now, that's a 0.6 percentage point upward adjustment in their near-term inflation forecast. And it carries in diminishing form all the way through the forecast going out to the end of 2025. Previously, the Reserve Bank was expecting that both headline and underlying inflation would be down to 2.8% year on year. That would be inside their inflation target. In fact, they thought that they'd just about be there by the middle of 2025 in the August forecasts. Now they've abandoned any hope of that. So they're saying that inflation is still going to be 3 and 3.3% respectively mid-2025. And at the very end of 2025, they've revised to 2.9% year-on-year for both headline and underlying inflation. It's only just inside the 2 to 3% target band. So what these forecasts are actually saying is that we've had to make these adjustments. We recognise there's all sorts of peculiar factors which are working through the economy at the moment, not least of the varying impacts of very high immigration. So very high immigration means that your growth forecasts are going to be higher than they otherwise would be. It also means that potentially you could have a little bit less pressure perhaps running through the wage system than previously expected. But it also adds to inflation through the pressure it puts in housing. So through housing prices and housing rents, and that keeps inflation higher than expected. And on top of that, one of the factors which the RBA was looking at in its forecasts was that we've had a bit too much government spending on things like infrastructure, and it's not showing any signs of turning around, and that's keeping a lot of pressure on some prices, even though we might not be expecting quite so much pressure to be coming through the wage system in general. So they're really admitting that it's getting very, very hard to predict why this inflation is staying so sticky and so high. But what these forecasts suggest is there's no leeway now for any upside surprises in economic data as it comes through. This week, for example, we get the wage price index coming out, and the market expects that that will be up 1.3%, 3.9% year on year. It can't be any higher than that. If it is, it puts pressure back to these forecasts again. We get the labour force data coming out this week for the month of October, and we can't have any strength showing through these numbers now going out over the next month or two. The market expects we'll see an 18,000 increase in October employment, the participation rate probably staying the same at 66.7, and the unemployment rate edging up slightly on that to 3.7, 3.6. That's about the limit in these Reserve Bank forecasts. It can't be any stronger than that. So this is where the risk resides that the Reserve Bank will still have to lift rates further. It's just got no leeway in these forecasts for any upside surprises at all. And whilst that we may not get enough of those before December to warrant a rate hike, there's a fair chance that we will before the next meeting in February. So either way, it looks like either another rate hike in December, maybe a lower probability on that, but much higher probability that if they don't move in December, that they have to go in February again. So that's where the risks still reside, really, for the Australian forecast as we go ahead. Moving to Europe. And in Europe last week, we had some pretty soft data coming through, really. We had Centix investor confidence. It improved a bit, but it's still minus 18.6 from minus 21.9. And one area where Europe is much weaker than either America or here is in retail sales. We had September retail sales came out, and they were down 0.3% after being down 0.7% the month before. They've been down 3 months in a row, which is very different from what we're experiencing both here and in America. So this is where the pressures are around the other way for Europe. They are probably past their peak for rates, and they can start to bring rates down. This week in Europe, we'll just get revised GDP. The first read of GDP was awful. It was minus 0.1% quarter on quarter. It's only up 0.1% year on year. There probably won't be much revision to that, but Europe's basically in recession. We'll get industrial production, some trade data, and both of those are expected to be quite soft as well. So looking out through the course of this week, We've got the makings of a lot of volatility over the course of the next month or two, because so we're just on this cusp, both in the United States and here, where if we continue to get softish data, then yeah, markets can get pretty excited about rates having peaked and come down, and you might, as you always do when you get to a peak of an interest rate cycle, you get a bit of second wind running into risk assets. That's until they recognise that, you know, the risk of recession has actually lifted as well, and you start to worry about that. But if we get any upside surprises at all in key data relating to the inflation outlook, both in the US and here, well, very quickly the markets start to build in another rate hike or two into the outlook, and so the pressures are then on for interest rates to rise a bit more. So looking towards quite a volatile end to the year, both here and also in the US.